Hare Krishna. So today we'll be studying from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 24. Our focus will be on text number 61. Chapter 24 of the Srimad Bhagavatam is titled as Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. So text 61 is as follows.
Yo maya yedam pururupa yasrijat.
Yo maya yedam pururupa yasrijat.
Bibharti bhuyashapayatya vikriya.
Bibharti
bhuyashapayatya vikriya. Yad Veda Buddhi Savitmatma Dushtaya.
Yad Veda
Buddhi Sadivatma Dushtaya. Tvamatma Tantram Bhagavan Pratimahi. Tvamatma Tantram Bhagavan Pratimahi. Yo maya yedam pururupa yasrijat. Bibharti bhuyashapayatya vikriya. Yad Veda Buddhi Sadivatma Dushtaya. Tvamatma Tantram Bhagavan Pratimahi. Yo maya yedam pururupa yasrijat. Bibharti bhuyashapayatya vikriya. Yad Veda Buddhi Sadivatma Dushtaya. Tvamatma Tantram Bhagavan Pratimahi.
Yeah. One who mayaya by his energy idam this puru manifold rupaya manifestation asrijat created bibharti maintains huyah again shapayati annihilates avikriya without being altered yat that Bheda Buddhi, sense of differentiation. Sat, eternal. Eva, like. Atma Dushtaya, giving trouble to oneself. Tvam, unto you. Atma Tantram, fully self-independent. Bhagavan, O Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratimahi. I can understand. Translation. My dear Lord, you have manifold energies. My dear Lord, you have manifold energies, and these energies are manifested in manifold forms. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation. And although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them, and therefore they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always independent, and I can clearly see this fact. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jaya. It is clearly explained that Lord Krishna has multi energies, which can be grouped into three, namely the external energy, the internal energy, and the marginal energy. There are also different cosmic manifestations, namely the spiritual world and the material world, as well as different types of living entities. Some living entities are conditioned and others are eternally free. The eternally free living entities are called as Nitya Mukta, for they never come in contact with the material energy. However, some living entities are conditioned in this material world, and thus they think themselves separated from the Supreme Lord. Due to their contact with the material energy, their existence is always troublesome. Being always in distress, the conditioned soul considers the material energy to be very much disturbing. This fact is explained by a Vaishnava kavi or poet. Krishna bhuli se jiva anadi bahir mukha, ata eva maya tare deya samsara dukha. When the living entity forgets the Supreme Lord and wants to enjoy himself independently, imitating the Supreme Lord, he is captured by the false notion that he is the enjoyer and is separated from the Supreme Lord. This material energy is therefore very much troublesome to the spiritual energy, the living entity, but the material energy is never troublesome to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, for the Supreme Lord, both material energy and spiritual energy are the same. In this verse, Lord Shiva explains that the material energy is never troublesome to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is always independent. But because the living entities are not independent, due to their false idea of becoming independently happy, therefore the material energy is troublesome. Consequently, the material energy creates differentiation. The material energy creates this differentiation. Because the Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand this, they want to be relieved from the material energy. However, because a Vaishnava philosopher is in full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he finds no disturbance even in this material energy. This is because he knows how to utilize the material energy for the service of the Lord. In the government, the criminal department and civil department may appear different in the eyes of the citizens, but in the eyes of the government, both departments are one and the same. The criminal department is troublesome for the criminal, but not for the obedient citizen. Similarly, this material energy is troublesome for the conditioned soul, but it has nothing to do with the liberated souls who are engaged in the service of the Lord. Through the Purusha Avatara, Mahavishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, created the whole cosmic manifestation. Simply by breathing out all the universes, the Lord creates and maintains the cosmic manifestation as Lord Vishnu. Then as Sankarshan, he annihilates the cosmic manifestation. Yet, despite the creation, maintenance and destruction of the cosmos, the Lord is not affected. The various activities of the Lord must be very disturbing to the tiny living entities, but since the Lord is supremely great, he is never affected. Lord Shiva or any other pure devotee can see this clearly without being blinded by bheda buddhi or differentiation. For a devotee, the Lord is the supreme spirit soul. Since he is supremely powerful, his various powers are also spiritual. For a devotee, there is nothing material. For a devotee, there is nothing material. For material existence only means forgetfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatho Jayamudhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati
Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Devaki Nandanaya cha
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya
Govindaya Namo Namaha My dear Lord, you have manifold energies and these energies are manifested in manifold forms. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation, and although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them, and therefore they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always independent, and I can clearly see this fact. So, as we mentioned before, this chapter, chapter 24, is called Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidur at this point in time, is discussing the lineage of Maharaj Prithu, which was the earlier chapter. As a part of that, it mentions that Maharaj Prithu in his lineage had a great king, had a very powerful king called as Prachin Barhi, who is also called as Barhisat. He had 10 children who were known as the Prachetas. Prachin Barhi had a task to do, which is to do the role of a Prajapati, to work on progeny, generating progeny in this material world. So he had that duty, and obviously he expected his sons to continue the father's duty and to assist him with this. With that duty in mind, the Prachetas being very pious, they wanted to take blessings and they wanted to get empowered to perform this duty. So they start walking to do some tapasya. As they walk, they come to a lake wherein they have darshan of Lord Shiva. It was not coincidental that they had darshan of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva knew that these people are extremely pious and also they are extremely well behaved. So, seeing their piety and good behavior, Lord Shiva, and their humble mood, Lord Shiva was greatly pleased. So, he actually came out and wanted to give them darshan. Not only did he give them darshan, but he also gave them blessings and instruction. The instructions which Lord Shiva gave to the Prachetas are called as Rudra Geet. And today's verse is part of that song which, or the mantra which Lord Shiva is giving to the Prachetas, which is Rudra Geet. Now, this Rudra Geet commenced from verse 33 onwards in this chapter. And since verse 33 leading up to today's verse of 61, Lord Shiva is primarily glorifying Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if to a Shiva devotee in India, if we have to give Shastra Praman, evidence from the scriptures of why Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, here it is. Lord Shivaji himself is saying that here. So there is no doubt. He is leaving no doubt. Lord Shiva, as Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, it is the duty of every Vaishnav to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To go and tell the whole world about the supremacy of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. As the Supreme, as the cause of all causes, as the Supreme Controller, as the Supreme Proprietor and the Supreme Enjoyer. So, Lord Shiva, being Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, the greatest Vaishnava, he is precisely doing that here. In these verses, he is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only that, he is glorifying the process of bhakti. Not only is he glorifying the Lord, he is also glorifying the process of bhakti. And not only is he glorifying the process of bhakti, he is also glorifying the devotees, the bhaktas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of bhakti and the bhaktas who are following the process of bhakti. All three of them are being glorified by Lord Shiva in his Rudra Geet. Specifically, in today's verse, he is focusing on the energies of the Lord. So, he is saying that Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu has got multifarious energies, different types of energies. However, he is the source of all this energy. There are a lot of Shaktis, but he is the Shaktiman. He is the source of all these energies. So one should never consider the Shakti to be more important than the Shaktiman. Because Shakti comes from Shaktiman. So Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is a reservoir of all this Shakti. And he talks about the various energies. And because he is the source of all these energies, Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is never affected or impacted by his energies. Rather, he is the controller. He is always in control of his energies. However, the conditioned souls, the jiva tattva, they can get impacted by these energies in whichever way. For example, a pure jiva will get impacted by these energies in a different way, and a conditioned soul or a practicing sadhaka, to the extent of his or her realization, will get impacted by these energies in a different way. And that is what we will discuss today. What are these energies and how do they impact each and every category of devotees? So, last week we had the appearance day of one of our greatest acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. So it is just probably, you know, a design of the Lord, or it could call it as a coincidence. But one of his beautiful works of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is called as Jaiva Dharma. It is one of his very beautiful renditions. So many years back, owing to our Muralidhar Prabhu's insistence, I happened to study, you know, this Jaiva Dharma book. It was one of the most beautiful books that I have ever studied. I mean, Srila Prabhupada books are our first source of reference. But outside of that, the Jaiva Dharma gives very good understanding of Tattva, Tattva Jnana. So, in this Jaiva Dharma book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are around 40 chapters that are there, where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes all of us through the initial inquiry of a jiva. So there is someone by the name of Vrajnath who is coming around, and you know, he doesn't know, just like a new devotee comes to the temple. So he is walking around, and he has basic questions about spirituality. So he is an innocent seeker. So the book starts with the innocent inquiries of this personality who is talking from the basics of dharma, and it goes right to the end of Prema Sampatti Dasha, which is the pinnacle of bhakti, the highest someone can achieve, which is Krishna Prema, in other words. So, in this book, quite a few chapters, specifically chapters 13 to 25, before the Rasa section, 13 to 25 chapters, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he dedicates it to explaining the different aspects of, three aspects of bhakti, which is Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayojana Gyan, SAP, three things he is explaining. So, Sambandha Gyan is who are we, and then who is the Lord and what is the relationship. Abhideya Gyan is what is the process of attaining this Lord. And Prayojana Gyan is about the Lord who we should all attain. We should know about the Lord and attain Him. What is the goal of all this Abhideya? What is the goal of all spiritual practices? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Now, as a part of Sambandha, he specifically discusses the different Shaktis, the energies and the different potencies of the Lord. Wherein, he explains the Ishwar vis-a-vis the Jeev. He explains the Achintya Bhed Abhed Tattva as a part of the Sambandha section. And then under the Abhideya section, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma explains Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And then under the Prayojana Tattva, he talks about Nama Tattva, because he has still not entered the Raganuga section. So under the Prayojana section in the Vaidhi part, he is still talking about the Nama, because Abhinnatvam Nama Naminaha. Prayojana itself also is Harinam. Harinam is not just simply Abhideya. Harinam itself is our Prayojana, because the holy name of the Lord is non-different from Him. And the holy name of the Lord itself will reveal the Lord to all of us, because it is non-different. So he talks about Nama Tattva, and he also cautions us on the offenses to the holy name, and explains how to avoid offenses. Of course, he has done the same thing in Harinam Chintamani as well. Same Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written that book as well. But here also he talks about it. So, if one gets an opportunity to study this book, Jaiva Dharma, one will see a striking similarity between the present verses from Rudra Gita, specifically the words that we are going to discuss today, and what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma as the Dashamula Tattva. Dashamula Tattva, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, when Lord Chaitanya was doing his pastimes on the planet, he gave us only Shikshashtakam in one sense. His written work in one sense was only Shikshashtakam. Of course, Shikshashtakam contains everything that is to be known in bhakti. It is the essence of all bhakti, right? However, the acharyas, what they have done is, they have taken the various teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then analyzed it and dissected it into 10 principles, which are called as the Dashamula Tattva. So now, when we study this Dashamula Tattva, we will see a striking similarity of those to what Lord Shiva is explaining in Rudra Gita. Now, this Dashamula Tattva means 10. Dash means 10. It is divided as 1 plus 9. The first component of Dashamula Tattva and the remaining 9 components of Dashamula Tattva. The first component is called as Pramana, and the other 9 are called as Prameya. Pramana and Prameya. Are you with me so far? It will get technical for the next 20 minutes or so. After that, it will be alright. Just sit through the flight in its turbulence. Fasten your seat belts. Okay. So the first one is called as Praman, and the first rule of Dashamula Tattva, and the other nine are called as Prameya. Now, Praman, as we all have studied from Ishopanishad also, means what? Proof or evidence. And Prameya means the directly perceivable truths propounded and evidenced by the Praman. Praman means evidenced in simple language, and Prameya means that which can be easily derived from the, logically derived from the Praman. So the Dashamula Tattva, the first verse is the Praman, and the remaining nine verses are the Prameya. Now, what is the Praman? At the very outset, the Dashamula Tattva clearly outlines that the Vedas is the sole authority. Anything that is not in the Vedas, is not scriptural. The Vedas, the song of God, the original sound of God, okay, it is the Vani of the Lord. That is the source of reconciling anything as far as Shastras are concerned. So at the very outset, the Praman is being laid down. So that is the first principle of Dashamula Tattva. Then there are nine other aspects of Dashamula Tattva, which are called as Prameya, as I said, which are derivations from the Vedas. Like, for example, the second one, it says that Lord Shri Krishna is the Param Tattva. Param Tattva means what? Shri Hari is the absolute truth. Then it talks about Lord Krishna being the Sarva Shaktiman. Sarva Shaktiman means what? That he is the only one who is omnipotent. Sarva Shaktiman. And that is what we are going to talk about today. The second, the third aspect of Dashamula Tattva, or the second aspect of Prameya. Then there are so many others which he talks about, like Lord Krishna is the Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of unlimited mellows. Then it talks about Vibhinna Amsha Tattva, the Jiva Tattva, which can be categorized as Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha, which is what Prabhupada is talking about in today's verse. Then it talks about specifically about the Baddha Jiva, people who are eternally conditioned. Then it talks about the Mukta Jiva, the eternally liberated people. It goes into details. Then it talks about Achintya Abhed Tattva. And then, after speaking all this in the Sambandha section, then in the Abhideya section, it talks about Shuddha Bhakti. And wherein, there is a very interesting statement which is made. It says that Bhakti is the only sadhana that someone can really do. There is no other sadhana outside of Bhakti. It is very clearly laid down by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone else is doing anything other than Bhakti, you can't call that as sadhana. And finally, the 10th aspect of Dashamula Tattva is Krishna Preeti, where it says that Krishna Prem alone is sadhya, is the goal. There cannot be any other goal higher than this goal. In fact, he says only, this is the only goal. Anyone working for any other goal is useless, waste of time. Shrama evahi kevalam. So, the acharyas have very beautifully dissected all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings into this Dashamula Tattva. So when we study that, there is a very big similarity between what Lord Shivji is telling in Rudra Geet to what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordained there. So let's go today and spend some time in the various Shaktis to begin with. Okay, you have to concentrate a little bit because it will get a little technical, but please bear with me on this, because that is the verse today. Prabhupada is talking about the Shaktis. And then we'll come to some sweeter aspects of that. This is also very sweet, but Srimad Bhagavatam is sweet from anywhere. But some of us may not have a penchant for philosophical discussion. But today's verse is, this whole section is very deeply philosophical and technical in its nature. But we'll try and keep it as simple as possible. I'll go slow, so you will have to just concentrate, that's all. Now, at the outset, the Lord's energy, the supreme energy of the Lord, or the absolute truth, or the divine potency of the Lord, can be called, there are three definitions for that. At the highest level, the energies of the Lord, if you see, it is called as Parashakti, Swarupa Shakti, or Achintya Shakti. If you remember, if you forget, you remember Swarupa Shakti Mataji and Achintya Rupa Mataji. At the highest level, okay, in that sense. Okay, just for remembering, Parashakti, Swarup Shakti or Achintya Shakti. This is what is the Lord's divine potency. Achintya means inconceivable. So it is clearly said that no amount of technical study we can understand the energies of the Lord. It is bound to be inconceivable even if we study Shastras for millions of years. One can only understand this by the mercy of the Lord. What is that verse? Tesham evanu kampartam aham agyana jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. Lord has to give us dadami buddhi yogam tam. He has to give us the intelligence. Only then we will be able to, by his, to the extent that he gives us mercy, we can understand his energies. Okay, so it is at the outset, it is called as parashakti, swarupa shakti or achintya shakti. Now, this is dissected into three, which Srila Prabhupada is writing today in his purports. The first is called as antaranga shakti. Antaranga shakti means internal spiritual potency. In short, internal energy. At the highest level, the energies of the Lord categorized into three. Antaranga shakti. Then the second one is bahiranga shakti, which is maya or illusion. The internal potency or spiritual potency of the Lord, which is antaranga shakti. And the bahiranga shakti, which is also called as the maya shakti or the illusory potency of the Lord. So there is internal, there is external, and then in between there is what is called as the jiva shakti or the tathascha shakti, which is the marginal potency or the jiva shakti. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the Lord engages each of these energies in worthwhile activities. In worthwhile activities. And yet, he remains very unaffected and aloof from all these energies as the supreme absolute truth. Now, at the purest level, at the fullest level of the overall absolute truth, this Parashakti, you remember I talked about at the highest level, Parashakti, Swarup Shakti and Achintya Shakti. Now you can remember, I know what you're thinking. So at the purest level, this Parashakti has got three characteristics. It has got three characteristics. Sat, Chit and Anand. This everyone knows. Okay. Sat, Chit and Anand. What is the meaning of Sat, Chit and Anand? Sat means eternality. Chit means knowledge. And Anand means bliss. So it has got Sat, Chit and Anand. So these, if you like, are the specific properties. These are the specific properties of the Parashakti. Now, this Sat, Chit, Anand manifests in different potencies. Now we saw Parashakti, we saw one dimension, internal, external and tatasya. Okay, we all saw that, right? Now we will see another dimension of that Parashakti. There is another way it is dissected. Other than internal, external and marginal, it is dissected in another way also. This Parashakti, it is said, has got three components, three different types of Shaktis. Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti and Alladini Shakti. This is another categorization, right? Internal, external, marginal. Sandini, Samvit and Alladini. Okay. In plain English, Sandini Shakti refers to the potency of power. Sandini Shakti refers to the potency of power. The ability to sustain. The ability to manifest. Because to sustain, to manifest something, to create something, to manifest something, and to sustain something, you need power. Right? So this Sandini Shakti is that power. And by this power, eternality comes. By this Sandini Shakti comes eternality. So Sandini Shakti is the aspect of Sat, which is Sat, Chit and Anand. You remember now? So Sandini Shakti is connected with Sat feature of the Lord. Now, if we talk about Lord Krishna's pastimes, okay, it is this aspect of Sat which manifests the earth, water, fire, air, ether, the Lord's Leela here, the various villages, the various forests where Lord Krishna performs his pastime, Govardhan Hill, and all other arenas for the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So how do these arenas manifest? It all manifests through the aspect of the Sandhini Shakti. Because if you remember, we talked about it is Sandhini Shakti through which everything manifests. So the entire Dham manifests through the power of the Sandhini Shakti. Not only that, also the various spiritual forms. Address that. So also the various spiritual forms of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, the friends, the form of the different friends of Krishna, the forms of Krishna himself and Radharani, as I mentioned before, different friends, different companions, the servants, the cows, all their forms, plus the various paraphernalia, sadhya, which are required for the pastimes, all that are manifested through the Sandhini Shakti. So Sandhini Shakti is about manifestation. Can remember that it is directly correlated to the Sat feature of the Parashakti. Okay. The second is called as the Samvit Shakti. Just like we said, the Sandhini Shakti talks about power, sustenance. The Samvit Shakti talks about the potency of cognizance. Cognizance means what? Knowledge. So the Sat aspect and the Chit aspect of knowledge. So the Samvit Shakti is where knowledge or Jnana comes from. And this is the aspect of Chit. Chit means knowledge. Now this Samvit Shakti is the one which arranges for different mystical moods and relationships among the residents of Vrajbhumi. Now I was thinking, what has this got to do with knowledge? So when you study little bit in deeper, we begin to understand what really Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to say there. He says that you need knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes you need to forget that knowledge also, that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So knowledge has got two aspects: remembrance, as well, remembrance of that knowledge, and timely covering of that knowledge also. So the Vrajavasis, for example, many times we see that Yogamaya is covering them from the Aishwarya aspect of Lord Krishna for the purpose of bringing in Madhurya into the pastimes. So the knowledge and the mood and relationships with which the Vrajavasis and the devotees deal with Lord Krishna is constantly being altered or being managed by the Samvit Shakti aspect of the Lord. For example, Lord Krishna playing flute to attract the gopis, taking the cows to graze, the Rasa Leela, they are all arranged by the Samvit Shakti. The mood is arranged by the Samvit Shakti. So we saw Sandhini Shakti, the potency of power or sustenance which manifests the holy dhams. We talked about Samvit Shakti, the potency of cognizance by which the moods and relationships are known or forgotten. Then the third aspect is Aladini Shakti. Aladini Shakti is the potency to perform dynamic variegated activities for the Lord's pleasure. So that is the aspect of Anand. We talked about Sat, Chit and Anand. So Sandhini Shakti correlates to Sat, Samvit Shakti correlates to Chit or knowledge, and Aladini Shakti is relating to transcendental bliss or Anand. Now this Aladini Shakti, who is the personification of Aladini Shakti? Srimati Radharani, right? So she expands herself to give immense transcendental bliss to Lord Krishna. She expands herself as the Ashta Sakis. So can the children tell us who are the Ashta Sakis? Gopal, can you remember? Okay. I'll give a clue. Lalita. Second is? Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Are you over? So Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalata, Chitradevi, Tungavidya, Indulekha, Rangadevi and Sudevi. These are the Ashtasakis. So they are all manifested as Aladini Shakti through Srimati Radharani. Now, with their loving spiritual emotions, they provide Lord Krishna with complete, absolute spiritual bliss. And their the only purpose of these pastimes is to engross Lord Krishna in sublime ecstasy through various amorous pastimes. So the purpose of Aladini Shakti is to simply serve Lord, not in fact the purpose of any Shakti is to serve Lord Krishna. Just that they serve in different ways. The Sandini Shakti serves by creating various dhams for the Lord. The Sammit Shakti creates the moods, mystical moods, and the Aladini Shakti is about serving the Lord and giving him pleasure. So Sat Chit Anand. So we talked about Parashakti or Swarupa Shakti or Achintya Shakti at the very highest level, which is then divided. There are two classifications we saw. We saw Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tathastha Shakti. That's one classification. Then other classification we saw is Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti and Aladini Shakti. So that covers the initial part of Prabhupada's purports that we studied today, the different Shaktis. Now, let us go and see if this is the pristine or pure nature of all these Shaktis, how then do they get colored for the conditioned soul? For the conditioned soul, how these Shaktis change a little bit in their effects. What effects do they produce? So, Srila Prabhupada writes that there are conditioned nitya siddhas, there are nitya baddhas, and then Prabhupada says the conditioned soul, you know, goes through a lot of trouble because of trying to enjoy separately from the Lord. So let us delve deeply into that particular section of Srila Prabhupada's purports now. So it is mentioned that the Sandini, Samvit and Aladini Shaktis, in the case of pure devotees, there is no colouring of these Shaktis. But, and then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Jaiva Dharma, these Shaktis, they are minutely present in the Jiva Shakti as well. The Sandini, Samvit and the Aladini Shaktis are minutely present in the Jiva Shakti as well. And they are perversely reflected in the Maya Shakti. They are minutely reflected in the Jiva Shakti. And they are perversely reflected in the Maya Shakti. Am I communicating so far? Okay. Now, let us understand the manner in which the Sandini, Samvit and Aladini Shakti are present in the Jiva Shakti, which is also called as Tathastha Shakti. So, as mentioned before, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that a diminutive or minute portion of the Swarupa Shakti, the original Shakti, is present in the Jiva as well. Therefore, her three properties of Sandini, Samvit and Aladini are present within Jiva in a small quantity. How are they present? For the Jiva, the conditioned soul, the Sandini Shakti is manifested in the Jiva as Anu Chaitanya. Anu means what? Small, chota. As Anu Chaitanya. Sandini Shakti is manifested in the Jiva as Anu Chaitanya, the minute spark of the Supreme Consciousness. The minute spark of the Supreme Consciousness. And further he goes on to say that this is the aspect of quantitative difference despite qualitative oneness. So, if you have to understand in simple language, you remember we talked about Sandini Shakti being the power aspect of the Lord, right? Being the, you know, there are a lot of potency in power, right? So, all this says in the Jiva Tattva, it is manifested in small quantity. For example, Lord Krishna has got 64 qualities in full. Then Lord Vishnu 60 qualities. Then Lord Shiva and Brahma 55. So now all these qualities of Lord Krishna. So Jiva is called as qualitatively one. But it doesn't mean qualitative oneness means Jiva has all the qualities of Krishna. In the various morning walks, if you study of Srila Prabhupada and the lectures, Prabhupada said 78%. Okay, don't ask me where it came from. I don't know. But Prabhupada said 78% roughly. Okay, is what maximum we can have qualities of Lord Krishna, like that. So nobody can be even qualitatively equal to Krishna. We are qualitatively one. And when Jiva attains that 78%, is almost qualitatively one with the Lord. Quantitatively, we are anyway infinitesimal. We are nowhere near. Right? So, this Sandini Shakti manifests in the Jiva as Anu Chaitanya. Now, how does Samvit Shakti act on the Jeeva? It is that Samvit Shakti. Now, you remember, you go back to the pure souls. What happens in case of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai and all that? It is all about their Madhurya with the Lord. That is how they see the Lord. Now, even for example, the Aishwarya devotees. Okay, Lord, now Devaki has more Aishwarya than Mother Yashoda. So she also sees many times, Vasudeva is also seeing the Lord as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Madhurya is covered little bit and the Aishwarya component is higher. And then not to speak of the Vaikuntha devotees, where it is full of Aishwarya Gnana only. Okay, so that is how the Samvit Shakti is operating on them. But here, when it operates on the conditioned soul, who is contacted the material energy, this same Samvit Shakti is manifested in the Jiva as Brahmanya, as knowledge of the undifferentiated absolute truth, which means the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So from that mood of Madhurya and Aishwarya, it now comes down to the mood of impersonalism. And then the third aspect is the Alladini Shakti. How does the Alladini Shakti act on the Jeev? Again, go back to the Alladini Shakti, how it reflects on the pure spirit souls in the form of giving unlimited bliss in sweet relationships with the Lord. But here, in the conditioned souls, it reflects as the bliss of Brahmanand. The bliss of Brahman, the happiness which Brahman gives, or the peace which Brahman gives. So, that is what is realized in a conditioned soul. So, that is how the Shakti acts on the Jiva Tattva. So, the absolute realization of Lord Krishna as the supreme absolute truth, Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan, is also very partial here and restricted to impersonal Brahman only. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Paribhasha Sutra of the Vedas, which is in Srimad Bhagavatam, is what? Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. The absolute truth is realized in three stages. First is the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the nirakar, nirgun nirakar aspect of the Lord, which is Brahman. The second aspect is a localized aspect of the Lord, which is in all of us, which is called as Paramatma, the super soul. And the third aspect is the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord. So here, when these Shaktis act on the conditioned soul, the conditioned soul is left with knowledge of Brahman at best. That too, people who are in the mode of goodness. People who are conditioned so much in the mode of passion and ignorance, forget about. People who are in ignorance, they don't even know themselves, first of all. Okay. For example, people who are intoxicated, they may even forget their own identity and name. And where is their house? Someone has to show them their house. Okay. So that is different. But even at the best mode of goodness, right, it still manifests that, or just the mode of transcendent goodness manifesting after the mode of goodness, at best Brahman realization. That is what essentially Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to explain in that section. So we talked about the how it works on the Jiva Tattva or the Jiva Shakti. Now we'll talk about how Sandini, Samvit and Alladini works on the Maya Shakti. What kind of impact she has. Now it is said that Maya Shakti, there the behavior is slightly different. Sandini Shakti here, again I am talking about Sandini Shakti, if you remember, we talked about manifestation of the holy dhams and places. You remember? Now when Sandini Shakti comes through Maya, what happens? It manifests as the 14 planetary systems, not the holy dhams. Okay? What is that? Atala, Sutala, Vitala, Talatal, Patal, below, and on top of that, Bhu, Bhuvah, Suvar, Maha, Janaha Loka, Tapaha Loka, and Satya Loka. So it manifests as these 14 planetary systems. As material creation, and it also manifests as the different physical forms of all our bodies. Right. So that is how the Sandini Shakti acts. And it encases the Jiva in these bodies. That is what is called as Baddha. The Samvit Shakti, okay, again you go back. What was the Samvit Shakti about? About knowledge and forgetfulness of the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. Do you remember that? We talked about the Samvit Shakti is about knowledge, Chit. When it comes to Maya, the Samvit Shakti, the same knowledge, it goads the jiva into pursuit of materialistic knowledge. Instead of that knowledge of the Lord, the materialistic knowledge of the Lord, and it reinforces the concept of bodily relationships. There it is all about spiritual relationships. You remember Nanda Mahadara relationship with Lord Krishna. Here it is all about bodily relationships. Me, my wife, my children, my uncle, my aunt, my country, my identity as an Australian or Indian. So all that is the Samvit Shakti. You know? Our relationships are also colored based on these identities. Then the Alladini Shakti. Now the Alladini Shakti, which gives on that platform, it gives unlimited bliss to Krishna. Who is the object there? Krishna is the object. Here, the Alladini Shakti, the perverted aspect in Bahiranga Shakti, is exhibited as, who is the enjoyer? I am the enjoyer. What is that? Ishvaro aham bhogi, siddho aham balavan sukhi. I am the enjoyer. The desire for mundane pleasure, or the desire for giving pleasure to the gross senses. What are those? Three things give us pleasure. Mundane pleasure. The mouth, which wants to eat and eat and eat, and which wants to eat anything. Then the belly, and then the genitals, right? So this is how the same Shakti, the Alladini Shakti, acts under the influence of Maya. It Maya shows it in a different light. Actually, the pure Alladini Shakti cannot be touched by Maya Shakti. But no, it's like a filter. You put a goggle and then everything looks very brown or blue based upon the color of your goggles. So it's almost like that. So the jiva gets caught by this Maya Shakti so deeply that existence becomes troublesome. Now we come to the middle section of Srila Prabhupada's purports for today, where he talks about that the jiva is greatly troubled by this Maya Shakti. Let's talk about what the trouble is and how the jiva responds to that trouble. So Srila Prabhupada, as we said, comments, some living entities are conditioned. Now where is that? Let's go back to Srila Prabhupada's purport. Can anyone show me where is that? It's a big purport, very difficult. Yes. However, some living entities are conditioned in this material world and thus they think themselves separated from the Lord. Due to their contact with material energy, their existence is always troublesome. Being always in distress, the conditioned soul considers the material energy to be very disturbing. And then Prabhupada gives that verse, Krishna Bhuli Sejiva Ananda Bahir Mukha. So, what is the point here that Srila Prabhupada is trying to make? That the jiva starts considering himself as the enjoyer and not the Lord as the enjoyer. So, I am the Bhoktaram. That is what the jiva thinks. And that concept, that understanding, gives trouble to the jiva eternally. And just because of that one understanding, the jiva is caught and trapped in the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. Just because of thinking that I am the enjoyer and not Krishna. I am independent of the Lord. I can do whatever I want. So you are caught in this samsara chakra of birth, disease, old age and death. And further, there are three more miseries. What are those? Adhyatmik klesh, Adi Bhautik Klesh and Adi Daivika Klesh. Adhyatmik means miseries because of one's own body and mind. Miseries because of other living entities. Tomorrow is Monday. You go to get into office. That is a beautiful example of Adi Bhautik Klesh. Okay. But going to office is also because of Adhyatma. The mind tells. They say, no, ye dil mange more. That mind want more and more and more and more and more. Right? So we go, we want to accumulate more and more. Though it's miserable, we'll still go and accumulate. Right? So this is the, so we are trapped. And then there is Adi Daivika Klesh, which is miseries caused by natural disasters. So nobody can escape this. As long, when one comes into this material world, one cannot escape. Birth, disease, old age, and these three kleshas. Right? Now, the interesting part is how does the jiva, the conditioned soul, deal with this trouble? How do we deal with this trouble? Prabhupada says, the conditioned soul is bewildered, don't know how to deal. But we see around how conditioned souls deal with this trouble. So, one aspect which we see, how the conditioned souls deal is, they align with Maya. The conditioned soul aligns with Maya. So, it's like joining the enemy camp. When Maya is giving you trouble, okay, make friends with Maya. Okay, enjoy. Okay, and then become a permanent member. in that league, PR, permanent resident in the material world. That is what Prabhupada called as Nitya Baddha. Permanent residency in the material world we take. And gradually, what happens? Forgetfulness of the Lord comes. When we join the enemy camp of Maya. We don't fight Maya. We don't try to fight Maya. We join. Okay. So some people will say, when we tell them, why don't you chant the holy names of the Lord? You will become free from distress. You will become very happy. So they say, oh no, what? This material world anyway, there is, some happiness, some distress is all part of the material world. So you have to take distress when it comes. Sometimes happiness is also there. Take it in your stride. That's how people will talk. Okay. It's like saying, oh, what is there in this jail? Sometimes the other prisoners abuse me. Sometimes the food is very bad. But it's okay. Sometimes they also give halwa in the jail. When the president's Independence Day, they will give you some, sharbat. So let us be happy in this jail. It's all there. Because they don't know that there is existence outside this jail. We don't know about this. Only when we know, we'll do something about it. Oh, there is something outside the jail. Oh, my home is there. Yeah, yeah. Let me run away from this. When you don't try to escape, when you align with the jail and say, authorities, I'll be a very good prisoner, okay? You please treat me nicely. Don't beat me too much. Some beatings I will take. Because anyway, in the jail, I have to take beatings. No. Because you're giving me halwa also. Like that. You're giving me a fan inside the jail. So, it's like that. So, this is the mood. So, now, how do different jivas respond? So, there are different ways in which Baddha jivas will respond. When Maya gives trouble, some of them will become atheistic and fatalistic. They'll say, oh, this thing happened in my life, there is no God. For example, few days back, one of my relatives lost her husband. So, till that time she was saying, God, God, God. But when she lost, now she's saying, God is not there, He doesn't exist. So, how did He exist before? Few days back, and this personality also was around 66, 67 years old. But she said that no, there is no God, because how can the Lord be so cruel to me? So you become, of course, she's not atheistic, but she's speaking in right now in anger, okay, like that. But people become atheistic or people become fatalistic. Ah, there is nothing in this world. Everything is, there is no hope. So people will talk like that. So when Maya acts on the conditioned soul, but there are some other people. There are some other people who will not become atheistic and fatalistic. These are the devotees who believe God is good-natured. He is good-natured sometimes. But sometimes God can be fallible also. So for example, they'll say that, when I got promotion in my office, I really realized the mercy of the Lord. First class he gave permanent residency in Australia when we applied. Very nice, everything was. But now, I lost my job. So, I don't know what is happening. I think God is good, but in some instances, He really does not. He just fails to protect. You people call Him Achyut, infallible. But no, I don't agree with this. Sometimes He's good, but sometimes He fails. So, He's not in full control of Himself. Some other people say, okay, He is okay. They will remain theistic. They will remain theistic and hopeful. So what they say, okay, look, I worship this Bhagavan. Okay. I got so many things in my one stage of my life. But after that everything went wrong. After that I worshipped this Baba. And then Baba's blessings, everything first class. So then nowadays I'm worshipping this Baba. Till the time next misery comes. After that they will leave Baba also. And they will go somewhere else. Right? A rolling storm gathering only gathers what? Moss, like that. No vyavasayatmika buddhi. It's like the foreign currency hedging. Okay, you have euros, tomorrow it may go down. Okay, buy this also, this currency also, that currency also. Hedge. In case one god fails, the other will bail you out. So like that. That is the approach. This is how Maya tricks. Then, the others, they say, I don't want to get into all these things. Okay, there has been misery, but I want to forget that misery. Let me work very hard. Let me take my career now. As the most important. This happens actually. I know of someone who was driving, her husband was driving a car with her, and both of them are very educated, and in front of her eyes, the husband lost, there was a head-on collision and she lost her husband. How did she deal with it? The whole life she has dedicated to becoming India's amongst India's most corporate powerful women. Okay, because that was what she thought, how to overcome her husband's misery. She was not very active at that time. She was not very well known. But now she is one of India's most powerful corporate ladies. And where did it start? That passion, where did it come from? From a misery. So, but what happens now? Will it stop giving? Will Maya stop giving miseries because you are focusing on your career? No. Birth, disease, old age, death has got nothing to do with what you achieve in office. Right? Tapatraya, natural disasters. No, it will not say, oh, you are the vice president of your company. Okay, the tsunami will go the other direction. No, it doesn't work like that. Vice president's house will also go. The CEO's house will also go. No, with that. If someone has to get a disease, it doesn't go by designations and power. It doesn't say, okay, cabinet minister. Okay, cancer will not touch. No, there are no rules like that. It can come to anyone. So, Maya still gives misery. So, Prabhupada says that the person who forgets Krishna will never be happy. But at the same time, though Maya Shakti of the Lord, it gives so much trouble to people who forget the Lord, it does not touch the Lord a bit. In fact, in the 10th canto, there is a chapter called as Prayers of the Vedas Personified. So, in that, the Vedas personified are clearly saying that, oh Lord, at the time of creation, when the universes came out of your, of the pores of your of our body, we saw with our eyes verily that you remained aloof from your creation. You were there and then there was your creation. At the time of annihilation also, Lord, we have personally observed that you take back all these universes into you, but you still exist after all the annihilation. Then the Vedas declare, therefore the Lord, you are not impacted by your Maya, rather you are the creator and the destroyer, but you are, and the maintainer, but you are still aloof from all this. Now let us come to the final section, which is the very sweetest part of how a struggling, a devotee who is still struggling, like all of us, we are a practicing devotee, let me say, how practicing devotees who have acknowledged Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have adopted the path of bhakti, but who have not yet attained pure Krishna Prem, how these people deal with trouble. And that is the glorious part of the, you know, the whole section where Bhaktivinoda Thakur as well as Lord Shiv is talking about the glories of bhakti as a process and how devotees deal with trouble. And Prabhupada also writes in this purport, however, for devotees, no, this is not trouble. So let us understand how devotees deal with this trouble. In fact, coincidentally, I happened to write an essay on this topic. You know, I was telling you the other day. So, I will take some snippets from that. So, Srila Prabhupada writes that material energy is troublesome for the conditioned soul, but it has nothing to do with the liberated souls who are engaged in the service of the Lord. So now the question comes, so do pure devotees never face any trouble from the material energy? Do pure devotees never face any trouble from the material energy? Did Srila Prabhupada not get a heart attack? He did get, right? So the material energy, it's not that everything is hunky-dory for the pure devotee also. Material energy will act, but the way the pure devotee deals with it is different. So, this is best understood if, you know, when you, if you study Srila Prabhupada's, if you study the Srimad Bhagavatam purports to 10.8.88. I had the good fortune of studying that very recently. It was one of the best purports that I have seen. It is so beautiful, that purport. I will request, if you have, anyone has got time, 10th canto, 8th chapter, 88th verse. This is the famous verse, Yasyaham Anugrahanami. Now the context of this verse is that Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami that you are talking about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have also seen Lord Shiv. Now Lord Shiv, he sits in crematoriums, he dresses himself, Lord Shiv's dressing, he's not known for his dress sense in one sense, right? So ashes all over his body, and then the ghosts and goblins around him, all skulls around him. Okay, and he looks like a poor man, homeless person, right? But people who worship him, they are all very wealthy. And here, your Lord Krishna, Mahavishnu is there, and Lakshmi is massaging his feet. The goddess of fortune, wealth itself, is massaging his feet, but all his devotees are, poor. How do I understand this? Who is asking this? Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami is telling him, very good question. Your grandfather also asked the same question. Maharaj Yudhishthira, to who? Directly to Krishna. What is going on? Directly to Krishna only he asked. Right? How come your devotees are like this? No, get trouble. And then in response to that, Lord Krishna says this verse. 10.8.88, where he talks about Yasyaham Anugrahanami. Where he says that my devotees, I personally give them misery. Okay. The more misery I give them, the more mercy they have got of me. Now this is far out to understand. Okay. Obviously none of us will go and say, Lord, please give me a special mercy. You know what that means then. Right? So you have to go, please give me mercy, but thoda, you know, little bit, you know, small mercy you give. So that I can tolerate this. Right? So the Lord is clearly saying that. Now how do we understand this? Okay. So now this is the last part. So please hear carefully. We'll end in another 5-7 minutes. Okay. At the outset, we need to understand that Lord Krishna, this is from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, I took this very beautiful statement. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says that Lord Krishna's love for us is based on who He is. Lord Krishna's love for us is based on who He is and not who we are. Lord Krishna's love for us is based on who He is and not who we are. However, he writes, our experience of His love, the way we experience Lord Krishna's love, is a function of our spiritual advancement. Okay? Does it make sense? The way we experience Lord Krishna's mercy is a function of our spiritual advancement. So, one who is very advanced in consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, will see the trouble which is given by Maya as a good opportunity to detach oneself from this material world and to develop a higher sense of urgency to immerse himself, to immerse and go back to Godhead. So a devotee sees misery as opportunity. Now, that is one aspect of how devotee deals with this Maya Shakti and troubles given by Maya. The second aspect is, because of this trouble, the seriously practicing devotee, he understands this trouble which is coming in his life is not because of his, is something which is given personally to him by the Lord. Right? So the first aspect was what? That the devotee takes this trouble as an opportunity. The second is, he understands that this trouble which is coming to me right now, okay, though I am struggling in my devotional life, is personally administered by the Lord. Because sometimes we say, at the fire of initiation, then one becomes Das, then all the karma is taken away, whatever it is. So yes, it is there. Initiation has that power, but Lord Krishna is not also very chalak. He is very clever. He keeps it with himself. Okay, because nothing is outside of Krishna. So our karmas are also kept like that. And then what he does, he selectively administers us now, this time, not to keep us bound in this material world, but to detach us from this material world. So the karma acts differently on a devotee also, but it is personally given by the Lord. That's the second aspect. The third aspect in that purport is that such troubles which a devotee gets, again, it may be karmic trouble given selectively by the Lord, they do not leave any traces after their immediate purpose is served. They do not leave any traces after their immediate purpose is served. Let me explain. If you go back to Nectar of Devotion, where Rupa Goswami talks about that cycle of avidya, bijam, kutam, prarabdham, aprarabdham, when he talks about that, it is said that when you do pap, when you do sin, what happens? You suffer. Because you are suffering, you become a bad person some more and more. You know, like for example, in one Hindi movie, one hero was telling, you know, I have suffered so much. My parents took me and threw me in the dustbin. And therefore, I have become Don today. You know, something like that. You know what I mean? Further, he became bad. And he said, I became bad person because I was, you know, something bad happened to me. So, this is like one effect leading to another cause, one cause leading to another defect. But, in the case of devotees, when the karma is administered personally, it does not leave any vestiges behind it, any traces behind it. Okay? So, that is the third aspect. Now, at a practical level, how do devotees deal, for example, when there is a job loss, for example, for a devotee. Then devotee doesn't say, oh, I lost my job. Okay, Telstra is nowadays, you know, retrenching. Krishna doesn't exist. You know, what kind of this is, you know, logic is this, right? So how a devotee may take it is, okay, I have lost my job. Okay, good riddance. Now I can spend more time in bhakti. Anyway, I'm such a rascal, I wouldn't have retired till 75 years old. Okay, now the company itself has thrown out. Therefore, now at least Krishna has given indications now. So let me now be happy with whatever Krishna has given and let me do my devotional service. That's one way they can react. Familial troubles. When too many familial troubles come, what happens? Again, then someone realizes that now time for Vanaprasthashram. Right? Time has come. Ekavan. Ekavan means what? 51 in Sanskrit. One means, which one is that? Vrindavan. Okay. So Vanaprasthashram. So time has come to come out of familial relationship. So devotee sees like that. For example, Vidur. Vidur sent that example in Srimad Bhagavatam. When Vidur was insulted by Duryodhan, then Vidur felt extremely hurt by the harsh words of Duryodhan. But he said that, good, very nice. Now whatever little bit of traces of material affection also gone. He has severed everything. Let me go on a pilgrimage. So he leaves that palace, never to come back again. Only once he came back. That too, why? Because of his affection for Dhritarashtra. To deliver him he came. Not because of any other reason. Right? So devotee then engages with family only for the purpose of delivering the family. Not because my cousin, you know, this, that, my family. No, we can go on and we can get sucked up in familial affections, material family affections. Okay. So that is how devotee deals. Now, whereas a very advanced devotee, how do they deal with it? Kunti Maharani. What does it say? Vipadat shantu ta shaswat tatra tatra jagadgiro bhavato darshanam yaksyad apunar bhava darshanam. Oh Lord, let those miseries keep coming again and again. Because I am such a person that when everything is very nice in my life, I forget you. Only when lot of miseries come, then I said, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And when the misery is over, then again, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Hare. That is how it is. Our mind is like that. When we are comfortable, the intensity with which we think of Krishna is not there. But when, you know, life gives us, you know, lemons, then what happens? Then that time we are very focused. So, therefore, very advanced devotees, they pray that, okay, you deal with us whichever way you want, because every trouble, the more and more you give us, it's an opportunity for us to remember you more. So that is how devotees deal. I will end this with a very recent example, how a devotee deals with trouble, very troublesome situation. I will speak of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Many of you would have known, will know, that he was one of the most trusted agents of Srila Prabhupada. Immense service to Srila Prabhupada. A person who took immense risks in his life to spread Krishna consciousness. Crossing the border with Bhagavad Gita, smuggling Bhagavad Gita into countries where you could be tortured and killed. You know? And he took that responsibility on himself, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Selfless service to Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj once prayed to Lord Krishna in the mood of Vasudeva Datta, saying that let the sins of all, may I take the sins of everyone, but let may you deliver the whole world, like Lord Jesus prayed, right? So he prayed like that, and very few days after that prayer he developed what is called as melanoma cancer. Melanoma cancer, it is mentioned, is amongst the most painful and dreaded of diseases. So this is how, you know, Maya was giving, in one sense, you know, to show all of us. Not that he was bound by Maya, but he, you know, he prayed like that, and then the Lord administered this. Okay. Now it is mentioned that because of this melanoma cancer, it was galloping cancer. So they had to amputate one leg of Maharaj. And on top of that, Maharaj was paralyzed from his waist down. One leg not there and paralyzed from waist down. And his whole body was trembling with pain. This was the situation. This is how trouble. This is real trouble. Nobody will debate this, right? And nobody will debate also that he is a very exalted personality, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Now, in all this trouble, he was trying to focus on the holy name of the Lord amidst all this trouble. He took, you know, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami, who was a very close friend of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, they were very close. So Radhanath Maharaj had flown down specifically to be with him during his last days. Now, what happens was that Radhanath Maharaj was trying to assist Bhakti Teth Maharaj in focusing on the holy names. He really wanted to do that despite all this trouble, but he needed some help because of the cancer was so painful. So they were chanting together. Now, how did the Lord reciprocate with the sincerity of Bhakti Teth Swami Maharaj? It is mentioned that the Lord quickly reciprocated with the sincerity and love, in that gradually Bhakti Teth Swami Maharaj, because the pain was there and he was really struggling with that pain, gradually as he was focusing on the holy name with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, his face became increasingly blissful, even amidst this pain, and he developed a radiant smile on his face. Just imagine, the full face is becoming very radiant and tejas, and there is a smile that is coming from his face. And Radhanath Maharaj mentions in one of his classes, when he talks about this, that smile was something out of this world of Bhakti Teth Swami Maharaj. It said his smile was so broad that his face, literally his teeth, were reaching up to his ears. That was the kind of smile that he gave. It's a wholesome smile, like that. We see Prabhupada also many times gave that smile, no? Where Prabhupada is photographed with that, radiant smile of his, like that. So very blissful amidst all that pain, a radiant smile. And then he held the hand of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and it said that tears of joy started pouring from his eyes. And shaking his head, Bhakti Teth Swami Maharaj told Radhanath Swami, "It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. I will not trade my position for anything or anyone else in this world, because I am tasting the sweetness of Lord Krishna's name. I will not trade my position for anybody in this world." And he says, his eyes started glistening with light. And he added, Bhakti Teth Swami Maharaj added, "I am now feeling Lord Krishna's love and mercy. And I know where I am going, and I am prepared to go. I know where I am going, and I am prepared to go. It does not get any better than this." Okay. So, this is how a devotee deals with, he's looking at trouble. Now, this is trouble. If you see from an ordinary lens, this is immense trouble. But he's saying it doesn't get any better than this. Similarly, we also see in Srila Prabhupada's life, how Srila Prabhupada also dealt with physical ailment. In fact, the Vaidya who was treating Srila Prabhupada said that his pain levels, the urine had stopped. The pain levels were immense. But what Srila Prabhupada was focused on dictating Srimad Bhagavatam on his dictaphone. Now, this is unimaginable for any one of us. So Srila Prabhupada is giving in his purports, and this is the way that trouble, which gives so much of trouble to conditioned souls, the way a advanced exalted personality sees this trouble is completely different to the way a conditioned soul sees it. So there is no trouble for a devotee. So that is how we have to understand Srila Prabhupada's purports for today. So we talked about the various Shaktis of the Lord. We talked about how these Shaktis act upon conditioned souls, how conditioned souls respond to this Shakti, and finally we saw about how exalted Vaishnavas respond to trouble in their material life. We'll end the class here. I'll ask if there are any questions or comments quickly. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharth Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So today I just want to make a small announcement. Yashoda Priya Mataji and Madhavanand Prabhu have sponsored today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam feast. This feast is dedicated to Yashoda Priya Mataji's eldest brother, who recently left this world. Yashoda Priya Mataji and Madhavanand Prabhu have requested all of us to kindly honor the feast and to pray for her elder brother's progress in Krishna consciousness from this point on. Her niece is also here. Hare Krishna. Oh, for the niece also? Okay, so please pray for her niece also. Okay. The feast is going to be upstairs now. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaved Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai Nikai Bhurtamana.